Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. We're going to chat this week with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton, who is on the telephone with us from his office there, and we'd like your phone calls to be a part of our show today as well. You can call us at 496-1999. You can send an email to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, Mr. Mayor, I want to start with a couple of listener questions that have come in since the last time you were on our show. Paul has written in writing, Metronet started a little building on the north side of Crawfordsville close to I-74, and he wants to know, in the interest of cultivating density and the downtown, did anyone from the city approach Metronet about locating its retail store in a downtown location?
Yes, actually we did, and our first choice was to have them in the downtown, and really their first choice was to be in the downtown, but as we moved through that process, that really didn't work out for them. Largely because they need to access their facility with larger trucks to offload their devices and their products as they come in. So in the end, they didn't feel like they could safely find something in the downtown that really met all the requirements. So they made the decision to go further north.
Let me follow up on that question then on Paul's behalf. Is that something that you are thinking about as you look forward to what the downtown looks like in the coming years, the ability to sort of accommodate just about whatever sort of company wants to locate there within reason?
Well, it is certainly something you have to think about. And in this case, you're thinking about delivery vehicles that can come in and service these particular businesses. And they felt like theirs was a little unique. It was a little bit larger trucks coming in, and it just wouldn't really fit with any of the existing space in the downtown. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. There's really not a lot of vacant space in the downtown. So I know for several projects we have looked for space for different things, and the market's pretty tight downtown. So to find something that kind of met their needs but also had this accessibility, it just wasn't there at the time.
Paul has another question as well. He says, tied in with that, what is the city doing to attract millennials to the area? This is, of course, something you and I have talked about on this show. He says, we know millennials, myself very much included, want walkable and dense communities that are bike-friendly and feature multiple transportation options. He says, I'd be thrilled to live in a medium-rise apartment complex close to downtown like the Athena Center Apartments, but he thinks these types of developments have, heretofore at least, been restricted to seniors. And he says, nicer complexes that are an attractive option, such as Autumn Woods, tend to be outside the town's core. He wants to know if there's going to be a place like that for him, and also wants to know about transportation options like dedicated bike lanes, return of Greyhound bus service, additional trains, things like that that might be attractive to young people. And he says you need only look at the Fountain Square district in Indianapolis to see where millennials are trending. And he has kind of a quick question at the end, which is, what is Crawfordsville doing to not be left behind, he wants to know.
Okay, well, that really strikes at the heart of our Stellar plan. We said when we set out with Stellar that we need to address a couple of different key things, and one is keeping professionals in our community, and number two, and perhaps even more importantly, keeping younger people, the 22 to 35-year-old age range, in our community. And I feel very good that we've built a solid plan out with Stellar that whether we receive that designation or not, we can start to implement that. And it really goes at trying to build that density, that walkability, and the housing options that the younger people want. So I think we're on the right path. We have a ways to go, and I think we've already covered some ground. So I feel good about that.
And we do want to spend some time on the Stellar grant today. We also want to remind listeners they can call us at 496-1999. If you've got a question for Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton, we'd be happy to have it. You can also send emails to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. So let's spend a few minutes on Stellar, because this is something that is coming up as you, before the end of this month, will have a visit from the Lieutenant Governor's office and their people, where you're going to get to show off the community a little bit. Getting back to Paul's thesis there, is part of that visit going to be trying to show your vision for making the town younger and hipper, for lack of a better way to put it?
Most of our visit will revolve around those kinds of things. We will spend some time talking about the vision, and they already have our written plan, so they've already kind of been able to dig into that. But we will spend time talking about that, and how we think our approach is different, because really, you know, you tend to see communities try to address things on the surface, and you'll hear a lot of talk about facades and visual appeal and those kind of things. And I think ours goes much deeper, and ours strikes at the heart of trying to reverse these trends and keep younger people here and professionals here. So we will be talking about that concept. We will be talking about how our specific projects set out to do that, keeping in mind that the projects in and of themselves may not be the magic bullet, but we think they provide the stimulus for the other private investment to follow along. For example, when you build, you know, accessibility and walkability in the downtown, and you start to do some things that put people downtown and foot traffic, you know, you can learn from everywhere else that these housing opportunities and these additional retail and dining opportunities will follow.
You mentioned trying to be different from other people, and it strikes me that there's a bit of a paradox here, because I think that you are trying to do something that other communities have done, and you're trying to, at the same time, learn from what other communities have done. However, there is a model, and Paul sets out the Fountain Square area in Indianapolis,
right,
which I think does a lot of the things that you're trying to do. So how do you at the same time say, we want to be different, but we also want to learn from the people who have been successful doing some of these things in the past?
Well, that's obviously tricky. And I think when I'm referring to being different, I think I'm speaking specifically to Stellar, you know, and I think if you look back, everyone's proposal has really kind of been on the surface to really address the physical things. And we have some things in ours that go well beyond that. So that's really what I was referring to. And then, you know, when you look at other communities, we certainly can learn a lot, and we try to do that. But you do have to put your own spin on it, and you have to be unique. Otherwise, you just kind of blend in with everyone else. So I feel confident we can do that because we have an authentic set of things, if you will, here in our community that set us apart. When you see the newer communities trying to create that historical feel, it's not authentic. And we have the authentic history here. We have those, you know, that authentic past and all those, that sense of place. It's all here already. We just have to find a way to lift that up into something that's appealing to younger people today. So it is a fine line, but I think we're able to navigate that.
You've said on this program that you didn't want to show site selectors something of an idealized version of the city. You didn't want people to put some makeup on it just so that it looked as nice as possible and perhaps looked not the way it looks on a daily basis whenever the site selectors came to town. How have you kept that out of the news? How have you kept it from becoming public when and where all of these things are going to happen?
Well, I mean, we work very closely and we have our core team here that plans these things, and then we also have a much bigger reach out into the community, and we've been able to do that. And I think everybody here, you know, as we explain to them, you know, we want some help and we need you to, you know, help showcase the community, but we want the outside world to really see our community as it is. Everyone here has been very understanding that, you know, they don't want to create something false, and you know, we don't want to line people up and down the streets and have a parade and all those kinds of things that have happened in other communities. We don't want that, and everyone here has been fully on board with that theory.
Has it been at all hard to keep it a secret from some people you've wanted to keep it a secret from?
Well, I don't think we're keeping anything a secret. I don't really think that's really what we're after. You know, we just don't want to create a lot of fanfare with our site visit, and different communities might approach that differently. I don't know, but it's not really about keeping a secret. It's just a matter of let's just show everyday Crawfordsville life and not, you know, build this up into something that is not realistic. And so, no, we've not really had any trouble. I mean, we're pretty open in our communication. You know, we just are not going to, you know, put an ad on the front page of the newspaper saying, hey, everybody come downtown at a certain day, a certain time, you know. So,
do you find yourself game planning for the types of questions that you think you're going to get, or do you find yourself doing more along the lines of trying to craft your presentation in such a way that the questions that might be asked are answered in your presentation, and people look at themselves at the end and go, well, I think you've pretty much covered it.
Well, you definitely try to craft your presentation to address their questions up front. We've been through this before. We've been a finalist before, so you have a little bit of experience there, and you kind of understand what they might be asking. We've also used some consultants who've been through many more site surveys, you know, with other communities, so they have a pretty good feel for the questions that are asked. But I think really, you know, if you look at the presentation, and you'll see that we're going to try to cover everything up front, and you know, they might have some questions here and there, and that's good. We're ready, but it should pretty much address everything on the front side, and we really have to step back, and we do this, and look at things from the perspective of these state agencies and the things that are important to them that they're going to want to know. They want to know that you have the leadership in place, that you've thought about the financial side of this, you've thought through some of the logistics that maybe people don't think through on the surface.
You mentioned hiring the consultants and things like that. Can you give me a ballpark of how much you've already spent as a city trying to assemble this presentation, trying to ready yourselves for being a finalist again? I mean, do you have a ballpark of what you've already done in terms of financial outlay?
Right. Well, you know, we received a grant from the state for $10,000 to do this. And it looks like we're going to be right in that range, maybe even a little bit under. We're not going out and making big expenditures to kind of build this and go forward. I mean, obviously there's some expense involved when you get to this level and you have to create renderings of projects and the engineering estimates, and you put together the actual physical document and some of those things. There's some expense involved there, and you're using a lot of professionals. You're using engineers, architects, those kind of people. So you do run into some expense, and that's why they give you the $10,000 to cover that. Beyond that, we're not really making any expenditures because we're doing everything in-house. And we took a different approach this year and said, you know, we're going to write this ourselves. And we did. There have been moments that I've regretted that decision, but just from the perspective, it is a tremendous amount of work. But we wanted it to come from Crawfordsville and really have the heart of Crawfordsville in it. So because of that, the expenses are not high. It's just cost us our own time internally.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're chatting with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton today, and we'd love to have more of your questions. Call those in to 496-1999. Send them to ask@WBAA.org or tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. You mentioned the fact that you wrote your own application. I looked through all three of the applications that are in your category, yours, Decatur's, and Marion's this morning. And it's really interesting because, as you have said to me in the past, Crawfordsville is kind of in the middle in a lot of different ways. You have this sort of Goldilocks principle going on where you want to be seen as not too big, not too small, but kind of just right. And your proposal is exactly that way, because you look at Marion's and it has a bunch of different themes. It's got a bunch of graphics and a bunch of renderings, and it's very tightly wound together around this theme. You look at Decatur's, it's a letter from the mayor. It doesn't have any graphics. It's just a bunch of text. Mm-hmm. And there's yours right smack
right
in the middle that has a little bit of both. Are you trying for that, hey, we're the best option, we're not too big, we're not too small, this is why you should pick us, that sort of Goldilocks idea?
Yeah, well, I don't know that I thought of it in terms of Goldilocks yet, but, you know, we did say that, you know, we want it to be real, we want it to be genuine, and when you submit these kind of proposals, what we had noticed, there tended to be two different things. There was that we've done entirely on our own, and it's not really jazzed up, if you will. And then there's the trend out there for consultants to write these kind of applications and proposals that are very jazzed up and very dynamic and very visual. And we thought that was a little too much. We wanted to really get in there and speak from the heart. So if we spend a little more of our allowed space doing that and a little less on the jazzy graphic things, so be it. And I'll tell you, one thing I'm going to talk about in the presentation, I'm going to make it pretty clear that, look, you know, you're coming to Crawfordsville, and what you see here is the real deal. We're trying to come in and really address the root of some of the challenges that we face and try to transform a community over many years. You're not going to come in here and see us all in matching T-shirts with this fancy logo and stickers all over the stores downtown that match and, you know, cups and trinkets and all these kind of things with this logo. That's not what it's about here. It's not about those things on the surface. It's about the real deal, building a team here, building consensus, and really transforming a community.
It sounds like you came to a decision at some point that artifice was really going to be bad for your chances. You didn't want the coordination of the T-shirts and the trinkets. You didn't want it to be seen as the consultants wrote this proposal, not Crawfordsville residents and Crawfordsville officials. Is that the way you saw it, that you didn't want that sort of patina of other people and other people working on it and trying
right.
to be artificial in some way?
No, that's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. And keep in mind, this is our fourth attempt at this. So, you know, I've been through this, and, you know, each year, obviously, some years we were finalists, some years we were not, but in the end, we were not designated any of those years. And every time you look back and try to think, you know, you try to evaluate what happened and where did you do things well and maybe where did you go off course and what did they like about somebody else better. So you really try to analyze those things. But I can tell you that at the end of each one of those, I've always had this unsettled feeling that we ourselves internally did not put it all on the table, that we maybe relied a little too much on the consultants. And I'm not, you know, trying to put the consultants down. They're very talented and they do amazing work. But in the end, I think it has to come from the heart, from somebody in Crawfordsville who can tell our story. And it's a little hard for somebody from the outside to really have that feel. I mean, I can sit and give them the story and they can write it, but it just doesn't have the same feel. And honestly, when we went through this process this year, we were using consultants for pieces to help us, and some consultants had played with the language a little and really cleaned it up, if you will, in a sense. Not that it was not clean, but they had really, you know, tried to make it more concise and really played with the wording sometimes. And after going through it, I said, no, this is cold, it's sterile, and it doesn't fit Crawfordsville. And, you know, we're going to go with something from the heart from here. So it was a very conscious decision this year, and also driven in part by really trying to listen to those state agencies. And if you really try to listen to them, you start to hear that sentiment coming out of them as well, that we want this to be from you, not from consultants. We want it from you. So as mayor, I think you have to step up and take that lead and do that.
Is there some sense that the state agencies are giving you directions and they're looking to see which community follows their directions the best?
Well, you would hope that. I don't know. It's hard to figure Stellar out. It's been somewhat of a moving target, as any community will tell you. I think there is an element there of that. Although the big criticism you'll hear from communities often is that there's not a lot of direction with Stellar, so that's kind of tough. And in all honesty, you may go to the presentations that they put on, and you'll hear conflicting information in there. How far in the weeds do you get or do you not get? And we want to be able to stand in one place and see everything transformed, and then you'll hear other things saying, well, you know, no, it should be broader in scope, and you may hear that this should not address infrastructure at all. It has to be things that we can see, and yet, you know, we saw communities in the last few years with infrastructure work below the ground in their proposal, and they won. So there's some contradictions there. It's really kind of hard to pin down what they are after and what kind of criteria they use.
We've got just a few minutes left with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton on today's Ask the Mayor. You can send us your questions, ask@wbaa.org is the email address. You can tweet your questions @WBAA News. You can also call them in to 765-496-1999. So we mentioned that all three of the city's pitches, their pitch letters essentially, are online, including yours. Have you read the other two? I'm curious to know.
You know, I did give in and read them pretty late in the process. It actually fairly recently. I've not spent much time in those because my theory has been, you know, it really doesn't matter to me what another community is doing, because I need to build a plan based on what fits in my community. So if they're doing X, I shouldn't look at that and say, oh my, we should do X here as well. And so, you know, I don't get too hung up on that. I did look at those, you know, a couple weeks ago, just out of curiosity, you know, and concluded that there was nothing unbiased, of course, but there's nothing real exciting there that caught my attention. It seemed like the same pattern of stellar thoughts that we've seen out there from other communities before. So, and you have to keep in mind as well that's the initial proposal, and there will be some changes and some tweaks to that in the final. And certainly ours did that. Our final proposal has some changes compared to what that initial letter had.
So at the same time, though, even though you may not change your own proposal, doesn't it give you a sense of how you might better position yourself against your two rivals, to where you could say, here's one way we think Crawfordsville might give you more bang for the buck than this riverfront design that Marion wants to do, for instance?
No, absolutely. You know, and you do take that into consideration. And you know, some of the communities have been pretty active in social media with some of their stellar things. And we've taken a look at some of that. And some of that's intriguing to me. That's where you start to see the trinkets and some of those things kind of promoted. It's also intriguing to me to watch some of that, and you'll see a community, you know, put things out about their stellar proposal, and it gets 2 likes or 3 likes on Facebook, and you kind of scratch your head. I mean, that doesn't make much sense to me if the community is behind you. So we have taken a look at some of those things, and it does tell us that, you know, I'm going to discuss this in our proposal, in our presentation, that we're not into that. This is not about the surface, the things on the surface. This is about really trying to make transformative change. So we do look at those things.
Well, I want to move on to other topics, but I'm interested. I will come and see your proposal, and I'm interested to see how all that goes. Looking forward to it from my curiosity point of view.
We're rehearsing even today, so we're getting prepared.
Well, you don't have to rehearse on my account, you know.
Well, you won't make the decision, so, you know.
No, that's right. There's no point in rehearsing for me.
It's scripted down to the minute. You know, you literally don't have much time, and you have a lot of ground to cover. So we're going to make sure we do as much as we can.
On to other things. You've proposed a 1% increase for city employees' salaries in 2016 after employees did not get a raise this year. Cost of living, I looked it up, went up about 1.6% nationally in the last year. So shouldn't raises be at least that much?
Well, we would like to see that. You know, we have some big items that we need to think about, and certainly 1% is a starting point. It could end up going up a little bit, but I felt that was a safe place to start. We made some pretty big jumps that really outpaced that cost of living a few years ago, and to get us caught up because we were so far behind. And I feel like we're kind of on pace right now. So if we can do these incremental smaller increases here and there, you know, we should be able to remain competitive. And you know, I was a city employee for 26 years. I totally understand our employees are really our most valuable asset to serving the citizens of this community. So I want to make sure we keep absolute top quality people. But I have to balance as well all the other factors coming in the budget before us. So we're comfortable with 1% right now, and we'll see where the council weighs in. I think we have strong support for at least that, but we'll see how it unfolds.
Do you worry that city employees might look at your rainy day fund and go, hey, you've got millions of dollars there. You could offer us a little more.
Well, they will say that, I'm sure. You know, we've been down that road before. But we have to plan for some major, you know, possible expenditures coming down the road, and we just want to be prudent and cautious. And I've said all along that the city of Crawfordsville has very healthy reserves. We're in very good condition, but it's not my goal to continue building that fortune and sitting on it. We're going to do the things we have to do. We just have to step back and look at the big picture. There are a lot of things that need to happen to really propel this community and move it forward. And good employees is one of those things, but there are several other things on the horizon as well.
You mentioned giving sizable raises that perhaps outstripped cost of living a couple of years ago. Is it worrisome that you might be going in that same cycle to where now if your raise is only 1%, you're below cost of living, and if you do that, especially on the heels of a year of not giving raises, then at some point you're going to have to give a big raise in a couple of years to catch up to several years of the cost of living going up and salary raises not meeting those?
Well, you want to monitor that, but I think, you know, it really seems that we are on pace and we are staying where we're at. You know, we're not seeing a situation where we're starting to really lose employees because of pay. We certainly, you know, you have some turnover here and there, and someone may go into business for themselves, and you know, we if they're going to go up, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, we can't compete with that. But you know, for example, in public safety, we're not seeing those big shifts because of other communities. So I think we're on pace. You know, we've had to address some serious challenges the last few years, and we bumped up to kind of to get us back on track. And I feel like if we just do these smaller incremental raises, we keep moving forward. You also have to remember that, you know, we've taken some serious steps to reduce how much employees are paying for their health insurance. And as many employees have told me, that translated into significant raises for many of them because they're, you know, the health clinic, they're not paying all these out-of-pocket costs for medical. A lot of times your insurance is actually cheaper now. So you have to take a look at the total picture there.
In just our last couple of minutes, I want to touch on one or two more things. You and I talked last month just before the July 1st deadline was about to hit for Amtrak. And, of course, it did not result in the switchover to Iowa Pacific running the trains. I know you've been very involved with this process. Have you heard any more about whether the extra month has made any difference in terms of making that switch over?
We're not hearing a lot of specific details in those negotiations, obviously, but I think one very promising sign is that NDOT did push out the agreements for the locals to all of us and had asked us to get those signed and get those back to them very soon. So I think that's a very positive sign that we had not seen previously. So that indicates to me that they still think they're on target for getting this switched over pretty soon, but we're not hearing, you know, that, hey, we're really close on the negotiations and this should close in the next day or anything. We're not getting that level of information right now.
And is the agreement okay where you think you're just going to sign it?
I've already signed the agreement. It's right on course with what we had verbally agreed with up front. I mean, it has the funding from the legislature in there, and then it has the broken down funding for the various municipalities.
And lastly, are you any closer to finding the people to sit on your repopulated Human Rights Commission?
Well, that's kind of been on hold because of the Stellar and all the other things going on. You know, we're refinancing the Commerce Park bonds to save interest money, and we're working on a new fire station number 2 on the east side. So we've had kind of a full plate. But I did ask for people to express their interest, and I think, I don't remember the exact number, but probably about twice as many people expressed interest in spots I have. Plan to get those vetted and probably take that to the city council for their September meeting for their approval.
All right. Well, we will keep track of that and all these other things, and look forward to seeing you very soon for the Stellar presentation.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember, you can find archived versions of all of these programs at our website, which is WBAA.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Have a good rest of your day.
Support for Ask the Mayor on WBAA comes from your membership and Butler, Fairman & Seifert, a civil engineering firm providing communities with professional expertise and guidance. Butler, Fairman & Seifert, civil engineering solutions for better communities. BFSENGR.com.